Welcome to Fast Break Breakfast. You're here with me, Keith Parrish.
Me, John Burr.
And I'm Chuck Anderson.
And we're going to talk about some NBA basketball. We're excited. Our previous episodes, we're talking about the preseason, doing over-unders and predictions. But now the season has started. We're a week in, and man, it has been a great...
And you know what's the most important part of starting anything? A breakfast. What did you have for breakfast?
You always say breakfast is the most important thing.
That's right.
For breakfast, I had a spinach and cheese omelet. It was very filling. I didn't really know what I was doing. I just kept throwing the ingredients in and then covered it in Tabasco. So that's... it tasted great.
That's a lot of protein and then a lot of vinegar.
Mmm.
Two of my favorite food groups.
Yeah.
Protein.
How about you, John? What would you have this morning?
I had a banana.
Mmm. You can build on that, though. That's a good... that's healthy.
It's a starter.
Yeah.
I needed something to cleanse my body.
Yeah. My potassium's good for you.
Mm-hmm. No cramps.
None.
I haven't had a single cramp today. Oh,
that's fantastic. I had, in a sort of self-hurting way, masochistic, I had a plain bagel with butter.
Oh, my. Oh,
well, the heat lost. I can't...
that's...
look,
you can't... no joy.
I can't enjoy life after that.
Plain bagel with butter?
Yeah, with butter.
No cream cheese?
Nothing.
No. I feel like there was a time in my life I didn't understand bagels that were a thing that people ate.
What?
And then I started eating them, and I did that. I just would grab a plain bagel and eat it.
Where were you
and
raised?
And I'm like, this is... Nashville, Tennessee.
So you ate biscuits?
We ate breakfast. We ate cereal. I'm sorry, we had cereal. Grits. I had Cheerios.
Right. Biscuits.
If we were good, sometimes we got Honey Nut Cheerios.
Or you got brought to the Shoney's breakfast buffet.
Only if we were lucky on special days after church.
Chuck, living down in Miami, waddled down to the Jewish joint, got a bagel with some lox.
I probably did.
Got a Cuban coffee.
I did have a cafecito.
Then probably went and had like some sort of drug deal, sexual relation thing.
Well, we're not going to get into that.
No? Under the boardwalk?
No.
No?
Nope. Not gonna... this is about basketball, guys.
I am trying to be less dirty. I was the filthiest in the first show.
Oh, you're such a dirtbag.
Well, we are now... this is our first, I guess, official regular season episode, and we're going to try to be a little structured with it. And I think we have our first section we're going to call the Breakfast in Bed Apologies.
You know, when you've done something truly horrible to each other, you have to bring them breakfast in bed so that they'll forgive you. Mm-hmm. Your partner, your good friend.
Whoever it may be.
Would you like me to start?
Go ahead, John. Do you have any apologies based on last week's episode?
This is my way. It's kind of a half-assed apology. I'm going to apologize that I think the Rockets are terrible, even though they're 5-0. Mm-hmm. But because it's my way, and I'm egomaniacal, I still think they're terrible because they've only beaten the Lakers, Jazz, Celtics, Sixers, and the LeBronless Heat.
Jazz are a powerhouse.
So, I mean, I'm sorry I led you astray if you bet against the Rockets those first five games, but that's not what I meant, damn it.
All right.
Well, if I had to make an apology, it would have to be to Chris Kaman. I wholeheartedly derided the Portland Trailblazers picking him up in the offseason as their best offseason acquisition, and his per 36 numbers are pretty impressive coming off the bench. He's only playing about 20 minutes, but he's doing well. So, Chris Kaman, I will bring you some eggs, Benny, with a flour.
Hollandaise.
Some hollandaise on it, a little bit of Canadian
bake.
The
flour is a nice touch.
Yeah, a flower, single stem rose in a thin vase.
A rose, so you're not even just going to go pick one.
No.
You're showing a lot of forethought.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
You're making amends.
I want Chris Kaman to like
it. And I think it's very mature of you, because last week John and I were both fighting almost for Chris Kaman, which most people don't do, because we thought the upgrade over Myers Leonard would be so great. Mm-hmm. And so far through a week, it has been. So I think you're being very mature apologizing.
Thanks, guys.
I accept your apology.
I need to apologize also to an NBA player. I made fun of Garrett Temple.
Who you disrespected the Temple.
Starting shooting guard on the Wizards. I thought that was just a fill-in. I didn't understand. And again, the term of the week will be small sample size. But small sample size, I think it's five games. He's been very efficient as a shooting guard, shooting a great percentage, doing a good job. So to Garrett Temple, who in my brain, I think Garrett Hedlund a lot. Mm-hmm. but Garrett Temple, this is my apology to you, my breakfast in bed apology.
Just never desecrate the temple.
Now we're going to do our kind of our weekly wrap-up, which are our Waffle House scattered, smothered, and covered thoughts.
thanks to our sponsors like Waffle House. Oh. That's what keeps this show running, keeps us in tip-top shape. Mm-hmm. Do we begin with the most obvious course of action? Chuck, do you want to start us off?
Well, I think there's a team in Northeast Ohio that happens to be two games under 500. Mm-hmm. They seem to not be able to play basketball, and they happen to be led by someone I'm not even – we were talking about Eggs Benedict. I think there's a player on that team who used to play for the Heat that I'm no longer going to say his name anymore.
So you have to call him Eggs Benedict from
his name is Eggs Benedict. So Eggs Benedict had a game against the Portland Trail Blazers where he effectively decided not to play basketball in the second half. And then in a game against the Utah Jazz, tried to win it, but it was too late. And Gordon Hayward, he took him to the woodshed.
Gordon Hayward made a mess of LeBron in that game.
He really
offensively,
did.
Defensively. There was a swat off the glass, like a chase down swat.
That was goaltending.
But you know what? It doesn't matter. A statement was made.
Right.
It's like the old Patrick Ewing Georgetown swats.
Mm-hmm.
You can't score.
Nope.
You'll never score.
Is that a college reference? I'm unfamiliar.
So sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, 1980s college reference.
You need to get on your 30 for 30 now.
Right.
I'm still boycotting the mothership. But that's a good idea.
What are your thoughts on ye old, ye new Cavs? You just don't care.
I don't. It's too early. They've looked like a mess. My brief thoughts are, I don't understand why they're not just doing more pick and rolls involving LeBron or Kyrie. It seems like
maybe Kevin Love.
Or Kevin Love.
Or all Anderson Varejao.
All these guys seem to be great options. I don't understand why they're like, Joe Harris came in the game, and I can't remember which game it was, and the color commentator was like, Joe Harris, there's a young guy. He's a shooter, kind of a Mike Miller type. And I'm thinking,
Mike Miller plays.
Why did you put in Joe Harris and not Mike Miller? Like, who's also...
They're saving Mike for the playoffs.
And
that's Miller time.
And it's weird, because I think there's going to be pressure. I mean, that's the story of it. There'll be pressure on the team all year. There's pressure on Blatt. Like, last night's game against the Jazz, he only played eight guys. LeBron's well over 40 minutes. Kyrie's right. a 40. You're like, just
and the
play
idea
some guys
was him to go to Cleveland for rest. Like he was going to play with these other guys who were younger, fresher legs, and he wasn't going to be able having to carry the team. Here's an interesting stat, which I think you guys take for what it's worth. But team points
is it assist related.
It is assist related. Team points per 48 minutes created by assists. The Cavs are dead last at 35 points per game.
That's what happens when your point guard scores 34 points and has no assists in
right.
a game.
As far as there were, a little over 1,200 NBA games last season, I think 10 games where a team had less than 10 assists.
Wow.
And against the Jazz, there were six for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Well, two in the first half. So
now that Chuck's gotten his schadenfreude out of the way.
Hey, David Blatt.
Hey, man, I believe in the Maccabi Games Master. Mm. Let's move on to something else. Maybe talk a little bit about Anthony Davis's beginnings.
Well, I mean, came flying out of the gate with, otherworldly numbers. I mean, Hakeem Olajuwon numbers.
Oh, yeah, dream-esque.
Precisely Hakeem Olajuwon numbers. Mm-hmm. I think that he's the first guy to do that since Hakeem. The way he plays, I haven't seen that in some time. I'm looking forward to Joel Embiid when he finally plays because I think we're going to have a couple of these guys running around. And Nerlens Noel is looking frisky. He has no sort of offensive game yet, but we're seeing like a different breed come into the game, and I think that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, this skinny, hyper-athletic, getting steals.
Long, smooth muscles.
I think another thing of the first week of the NBA season is outside of the Cavs, how few surprises there were. I think on opening night, all the favorites won. And since then, like the standings pretty much reflect exactly how we predicted roughly, the teams would be winning. The games are supposed to be winning. I mean, there's a few aberrations, a couple.
The Kings.
Like, the Kings have won more games than we thought.
Oh, Boogie. Boogie is on pace to be the greatest player in the NBA of all time ever.
So, of the week.
If he continues the ascension.
What's amazing, Boogie is he's like got one of the highest usage rates in the NBA so far, but he's doing all of this not playing that many minutes relative to other superstars.
One of my other favorite stats was the 30 points, 11 rebounds, and 22 minutes for Boogie Cousins the other night.
Bonus points for fouling
with
out.
A foul out.
With a foul out, which to me is absolutely bestial.
We're gonna hit up Elias Sports Bureau, see if they can let us know if any player has ever scored 30 points and fouled out in playing 22 minutes.
He's averaging.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah, he's doing a phenomenal job defensively. He's averaging close to 30 points a game, and he's really playing that team basketball that you didn't know he could play earlier in his career.
That team looks remade.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah.
There's a chemistry that wasn't there, and it makes me wonder if this Isaiah Thomas deal is going to be one of those deals that's good for both parties. Although the Suns don't look as good as they looked last year.
The Suns have been – that's actually been one of my
– Most disappointing.
Most disappointing. I mean, they're still I think they're 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
But it's their they haven't looked great, and they've beaten the Lakers twice.
Right. Not a lot of strength of competition. And when they faced a good team, a la the Memphis Grizzlies,
right,
they're getting blown out the gym. Yeah. And it's hard to get blown out by the Grizzlies.
I will say, back to the Kings, again, one of the interesting things is whipping boy Rudy Gay, I think he's now played something about, 65 games on the Kings.
And perhaps I should have apologized to him.
You might have. Yeah. That's a better apology. You hate Rudy Gay. He's had an incredible opening. And again, he's playing really short minutes. He's in the top 10 in NBA in scoring. So he's been on the Kings now for 65 games, and he's shooting 49% in those games, which is a...
Is it the laser corrective surgery?
Does that really matter? No, because he had that before, and he was in a slump. Okay. We thought that laser, the Lasix was going to fix his shooting. It did not. But moving to the Kings, he's been a much more efficient player. He's still not what you would call efficient, but, you know, when he knows he needs to get in the post and he can score, he does it, and it's, yeah.
I have a theory. They're playing well. I think it's that Cali chronic.
Yeah, it could be.
It's good for the glaucoma.
Mm.
So his eyes are better.
When you're right, you're right, Chuck. Yeah. Dr. Chuck's diagnosis. Mm.
John, do you have any, what are your thoughts from the last?
I mean, I'm trying so hard not to talk about the Grizzly start, but I'm going to talk about the Grizzly
start.
Do
it, please. Oh, yeah.
Just because. Why don't you save it?
I could save it, but very briefly, the Grizzlies also, like the Rockets, have faced some subpar competition, but the manner in which they're playing, I think, is a new wave, especially for players. The offense is truly running through Marc Gasol now, and it's a beautiful thing to behold.
It's true. I think if you've ever watched Marc Gasol, a lot of times you get the feeling, if you want them to win, if you want Memphis to win, you get the feeling of like, oh, why did you just stand there at the elbow and not shoot or drive or why did you kick it back out to Mike Conley or whoever? And so far this season, he's understood like, oh, if I catch it, you know, at the elbow and I'm not being guarded, I'm gonna shoot it.
Right. Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, this is awesome. Like,
no hesitation.
Gasol scoring 20 points a game, and it's definitely helping him so far. Mm-hmm. Again, we'll see if they can. You're so unenthused.
Yeah. Look, I'm gonna end up rooting for the Grizzlies. I'm in Nashville now. It's a close enough team for me to root for. I'm not rooting for the Hawks because I don't believe in supporting Danny Ferry. But yeah, you're looking at. Small sample size. You can't.
Despite my fandom, I still think that the best teams so far have been the Warriors and the Bulls.
Warriors have been unbelievable.
Right. And the Bulls, with now all of a sudden Derrick Rose's ankles are giving him issues.
Both of them. He managed to sprain them both.
Which, you know.
It's hard to do.
Now, you kind of get into the mindset where you're going, maybe he just believes he's going to get hurt.
He has cankles now.
Yeah. He's got those big old fat girl ankles.
Anti-mame ankles. Mm.
Yeah.
I think Pau Gasol, the guys they've had on the bench, Mirotić, McBuckets, who's yet to really make his presence felt, but it's coming.
McBuckets has had, and again, he's played just a few minutes a game. He's shooting a good percentage. Last night, he played 7 minutes, didn't take a shot, and I think that's a good thing.
I do too.
It shows he's not a complete gunner. He's not a just unconscious Nick Young type who will just shoot just from being on the court. Like,
this team was one of the worst teams on offense last year. Through five games, they're like fifth. And I don't think that's like a small sample size thing. I think that's here to stay. That team is – I love the pickups like Aaron Brooks that they've had. So when Rose does come down, Aaron Brooks will have, you know, 20, 30-point nights.
And he's a man reborn. I mean, he really has been so good.
And he knows he's on a championship contender. It gives him that energy that I think – now, he's a complete defensive liability. He can't play a lick on the defensive end. But when you've got Captain Kirk doing what – Kirky things, you can do those substitutions at crunch time like you saw in the Cavs game. I think, they look great. I like the defensive intensity that's still there, coupled with these new offensive additions. You got a really, really promising team there in Chicago.
We've been on LeBron, but that's, there have been two games where he has single-handedly, I blinked and they were tied again, where I thought the game was over. And then LeBron somehow willed them back to getting into it.
And that's one of the
Magic's not gone.
One of the things with the Cavs now, and we'll just bounce to them again, and I may steer the ship to there once or twice more, is you're looking at, he's trying to, which is to me completely asinine, teach these guys how to win. Mm-hmm. And you don't do that by losing. You don't do that by losing basketball games that you can win for the sake of doing it. When they lost to Portland, he removed himself, it seemed, willingly from the offense.
Hold a Kobe.
He was even worse, a Rick Barry. He just decided not to play. And that, to me, is that's not what you do. You win. There's no way that you can lose basketball games and learn from it from any real way if you're trying to compete for a championship.
If you recall, two or three seasons ago, Kobe decided to get only assists in a game six in the playoffs that they lost.
It was remarkable. Absolutely.
LeBron hasn't gone that far, but it's getting there. And I guess we should move on, but I still think this Warriors thing is real.
I would say that the thing I find most interesting about the Warriors, they're all playing well, but the fact that Kerr has come out and said that, oh, we're winning with Draymond Green. Draymond Green is going to start. And so they have, in like the fact that I guess everyone's buying in. So David Lee will be on the bench unit. And if Iguodala is going to run with the bench unit, man, it seems scary how efficient they can be and how well they're playing right now.
Draymond Green starting over Lee is so huge. In fact, I bet against the Warriors just last night against the Clippers. Big mistake. I did it because David Lee was starting. And I feel like David Lee's such a defensive liability that Blake was just going to eat him up. But they were ingenious in that game. They doubled Blake pretty much the whole game. I do think Chris Paul is injured, though. Yeah,
it's possible.
Something is up.
Let it be known that John texted Chuck and I.
A little podcast experiment.
And was like, who do you guys like in the Warriors-Clippers? And we were like, Warriors. Clippers look real bad.
For sure.
And he's like, well, what about like Warriors by five? And we were like, Yeah, that seems very right.
It's easy.
And then he's like, yeah, I took the Clippers. I want to go against you guys.
So, just for the fun of it.
It was an experiment. And experiment failed.
Yeah.
It was a success for two of you. And then
John lost $50.
But well, that's how it goes.
And thank you for sacrificing for the podcast.
There, man, I'm going to write that shit off of my taxes.
One of the more surprising things about the Warriors that I find to be kind of impressive is the fact that they're tops in the league in defensive efficiency. You've got Steve Kerr really coming in and understanding how to implement a defensive strategy, which I didn't think would be the case. I thought he would kind of unleash this three-point shooting massacre team that would, you know, really light up offensively, but he's really instilled a very solid defensive scheme, and it's working well.
Well, I just think they didn't change anything from last year, because I give Mark Jackson a lot of, but he turned them into a good defensive team last year. And I think Kerr realized that was fine. Didn't change a thing. Now they're just running plays that involve, you know, motion and passing. Right. I mean, there's some catch and shoot going on. It's not just ISO, 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 which is certainly what it was last year. But I think those are Waffle House scattered, smothered and covered thoughts.
I think my final smothered and covered thought would be that the perhaps worst team in NBA history, the Sixers, didn't get off to their fictitious false start like they did last year. Mm-hmm. They are their 0-5, and they are clearly,
they're being true to their school.
They're being true. And what's the worst record? Is it 11 wins on a full season? 12?
12.
I guess we should know these things.
We should look them up.
Why
should we look up?
We shouldn't look it up.
No.
They are double digits. Seems ambitious.
Yeah. Lakers and Sixers racing to the bottom.
All right.
And the Lakers. Can we talk about the Lakers? I really think that the Lakers, to me, are the saddest basketball club in the world, because you've got this Kobe Bean is literally just heaving anything up as soon as he passes half court. And it's
49 field goals, 122 field goal attempts.
He's the worst statistical player that you can imagine as far as in this new, data-based league. And he's trying to will a team that has no ability to get anywhere forward. And when Ed Davis is your second best player, you're looking at a long road to the lottery. You know, even if you've got one of the top, you know, five players.
Highest usage rate by 4 entire percentage points.
Ugh.
This is a true new level of ball hoggery.
Oh, you can't.
It's beautiful to watch.
He's the only guy
who doesn't know they're tanking.
I agree with Magic Johnson, who tweeted yesterday that even if they're losing, they're a very entertaining brand of basketball. Honestly, they're kind of fun to watch. I mean, especially if you don't like them. But like, but watching Kobe single-handedly try to just score and not pass, it's fun. And yeah, just.
But the reality is, any shot he takes is probably the best shot that offense can produce.
Yeah, you get the Kobe assist.
Yeah.
All right. So our next this is going to be a regularly occurring segment we have coming up now, and we call it the Taco Bell Breakfast Unsustainable Business Model.
That can't go on.
So we, I think we're going to talk about. Are we going to do this on the Grizzlies?
I'd love to do a little.
I think the unsustainable business model is: can the Grizzlies keep winning with a bench that's shooting under 25%?
That is an emphatic no.
Yeah.
If that continues, they must start losing.
Right.
However, I don't think that will continue.
Yeah. So you think the Grizzlies bench being having 4 guys in the top 20 of worst PER?
That's unsustainable.
That will break. That's the part that will break.
I think so. I mean, if that happens, Grizzlies aren't even a playoff team. You can't win with just starters.
It is difficult. I mean, Kosta Kufos, center, is 1 for 8 on the year.
He's lost out
Small
there.
Small sample size, but how does a center go 1 for 8?
Koofy Kufo is that how you say his name? Look, he's a piece of
Nick Calathes Sr.
Calathes. You got Bino Ujuruj. You know, all these guys, Kalen Lucas, whose name sounds like boy and girl twins in preschool.
Hey, Kalen.
Hey, Lucas. There's no one on that bench that even makes me think about.
Vince Carter. Hey, Sean Prince is terrible.
Look, if this was 2002, I'm on board with both of those players. But this is 2014, and those guys aren't getting you any meaningful minutes if they last to the playoffs.
There was a moment in a game this past week where Mark dished to Vince Carter streaking through the lane. Vince jumped up in the air, and I fully expected him to throw down the hammer. George Gervin finger roll.
The underhand. I will say, here's a fun experiment, is to go on whatever your favorite statistical site is. Actually, probably need to go to the ESPN for this one. Look up the John Hollinger, Memphis Grizzlies employee. Look up the John Hollinger player efficiency ratings and compare compare the 5 bench players that he chose to be on his team last year versus the people he let go of who are on different teams. Compare Quincy Pondexter's 2 PER to James Johnson's 18 PER.
Ed Davis.
Compare Ed Davis, who
special
I think...
Special Ed, shout out.
Special Ed.
He may be in every podcast.
I believe his PER is, I think, 22. Mm-hmm. Kosta Kufos, I had it. I think it's at 1.
It might be.
And
Kosta knows how to play the game. He'll be back.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know about Coupon, but Kosta will be back.
No, Kosta will be back. He's a great defender. He's a great screener.
I think he might just be Kosta.
I'll say John Lure's PER... negative 0.27. The rarely seen negative.
The lure lock.
So I'm trying to see one of those. I'm going to make me a Regina George meme. Stop trying to make lure happen.
Well, I think that is our Taco Bell breakfast unsustainable business model.
That it is.
Thanks, Taco Bell, for that check. Mm-hmm. What does that bring us to now, Keith?
Now we're going to do something more positive. This is going to be the steak and eggs, personal favorite of the week.
Ah, my favorite meal.
So whatever's your favorite thing that happened, your favorite player, your favorite story, who wants to go first here?
Chucklehead.
I believe it has to be... Now, I was going to go with Boogie Cousins, but we already buried the lead with that.
We did. A little bit.
Kind of jumped the, you know, the wagon, but...
You insulted them a little bit?
Right, a little bit. Look.
You can still bask in the Cavs being 1-3.
I love the fact that the Cavs are struggling. I'm a Heat fan. There's no way that I can't just bathe in this.
Can we flip the script a little bit and talk about the Heat have been okay?
The Heat have been good.
Chris Bosh has been remarkable.
They have. They lost handedly to the Houston Rockets at home by 17. The last time we lost by that much to a team from Texas, it made LeBron move states. So you've got, you know, that was a real but Houston looks phenomenal. They're throwing threes up from everywhere. But yeah, the Heat don't look they don't look invincible. They don't look wholly flawed. They look like a good NBA team that's going to have its nights, good and bad. So
I don't think the Heat are going to be able to beat any team with defensive big men. I just don't think they can. I don't think they're equipped to. Dwight totally dominated that game.
I mean, that's a top five. Yeah, if you take out the top five best defensive big men in the league, but they took care of the Wizards at the Wizards right. with Martin Gortat.
Not a defensive player. Neither's Nene.
Terrible one.
Nene.
Nene didn't play. Nene. Right. Yeah. Hey, Nene.
Well, that's the Nene way.
Right.
He plays in the playoffs.
Right.
Ask Joakim Noah.
Yeah, that's the Brazilian way of life. But I think the Cavs, which is who I'm talking about here, are we really need to just ask ourselves where are they going to land in the spectrum of super teams? You know, we've got the Lakers, and we've got the I guess the Heat would be the
I guess the
big three Heat are the standard bearer of super or the big three
of
the
this
Boston
era.
Three party maybe they had only one championship but
yep. of this era
where if we can talk about where do we think they'll end up as far as championship rings going forward with that team and the holes that
so
they
based
have.
On five games with a new
right.
coach you're going to say no
completely I think that I don't think they will be as good as the Miami Heat was at their peak when this team is eventually.
This is a good time. I feel like this segue naturally. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a little pause and we're going to bring you back one of our favorite segments, which is a scorned Heat fan text a friend. These are real texts that Chuck sent to John in the summer of 2014.
The worst day of my adult sports life. Worse when the Marlins sold the entire team in 97.
And there you have it. That's a scorned Heat fan.
Insane.
Text a friend.
Do I have to stop talking about the Cavs now?
I think you should.
I think you should.
Let's wrap it up. John, what's your steak and eggs personal favorite of the week?
My steak and eggs, and that truly is the greatest of all breakfast, and to me the greatest thing to see on a basketball court, and it happened at least thrice, big men leading fast breaks. I saw Nerlens Noel lead a fast break and throw a behind-the-back dish. I saw Anthony Davis lead like four fast breaks. And, most importantly, Mark the Shark led an amazing fast break, dished it Tony Allen, who promptly missed the layup, and he can dunk. Tony Allen can dunk. Why the f*** didn't he dunk?
And again, for all of our listeners, you need to know that John refers to Mark by his unknown nickname, Mark the Shark.
Right. The Great White! Great White Shark!
You should also know that John has made a concerted effort not to curse in this podcast.
Also
and
true.
We're at 15
I think it's worse
F-bombs.
Than the last one.
I think you are right.
Very
can
much
I have another
true.
Beer, please?
Yes, sir.
All right, my favorite of the week is we didn't mean to be so Grizzlies focused, but it was bound to happen. My favorite of the week is a shout out to old man Tayshaun Prince, who, if you didn't know, not counting the game after he got traded from the Pistons to the Grizzlies, coming into this year, Tayshaun Prince had started 784 basketball games in a row, which is amazing. And then in game one, he got a did not play coach's decision. Which
it's a hell
is
of a way to go.
It's a tough way to go. But then in game two, Courtney Lee has his head stepped on, concussed violently.
That was a diving knee drop.
They dust off Tayshaun, comes in the second half, helps him to the victory,
vintage
starts
Tayshaun.
The next two games, and is one of the best players in their wins. He has a 14 point game, which you hadn't seen in a while. And then Courtney Lee gets healthy, and Tayshaun disappears back into the ether.
DNP.
So my favorite thing was seeing old man Tayshaun get dusted off, do great, and then, like the gentleman he is, retire into the night.
Thank you, Earthworm Jim. Thank you.
And now the flip side to that is we have the cream of wheat worst of the week. So what's the worst thing that you saw this week?
I like to go first.
Sure.
Because this was almost my steak and eggs, because it's kind of is at the end of a spectrum to the point where it almost goes around to the other end of the spectrum. Rudy Gay, Boogie Cousins, Kenneth Fareed, triple flop.
Oh, I did see that.
You need to see it. So I guess Google.
Just Google triple flop.
Google triple flop. And if you haven't seen it, it's up there.
It's the double rainbow unicorn. Reverse highlights.
It's three professional athletes, grown men running into each other and all deciding they stepped on a landmine and falling backwards, trying to get a call.
Two of whom are like enormous center power forwards.
Right.
Like one of them is the Predator.
Yeah.
The other one's Boogie.
It's almost like a interesting NPR storytelling episode.
And you know Rudy Gay is tough because he grew up with the last name Gay. Yeah. That's like the boy named Sue. Those are three tough mama jammas just falling all over each other with minimal contact. Truly. So basically, in case you don't know what we're talking about, one player was about to foul another player. Another player somehow got in the middle of that. No one touched anyone. Everyone hit the ground like a grenade had gone off.
It's really like incredible. It's like one time in seventh grade, we decided we were done with our English teacher, and we were, you know, just horrible middle school children. And so everyone had decided at 2 p.m. we're all going to throw ourselves on the ground.
That's incredible.
So it happened, and this was like the triple. So that was like a 20 tuple flop. 20 seventh graders all throwing themselves on the ground.
Trying to upstage the triple flop.
Anyway, the triple flop was great.
20 twipple.
Yeah. Chuck, you have a worst of the week?
My worst of the week.
Cream of wheat worst of the week.
It cannot be the Cavs.
No, okay, then I can't go.
Heath, you're up.
Oh, wait, were you going to do the no assist game? Or the
yeah.
Assist game?
It can't be the Cavs.
No, I already said it. Look, I'm so excited to poop on the Cavs that I will, as soon as I get a chance to say it, I will just...
All right.
With vomit.
He made his best of the week, the Cavs sucking.
Yeah.
And then his worst.
How can that not be the best
of the
week?
All right. So we're going to move. My worst of the week will be extended this week because I love just kind of perusing through NBA box scores and finding the gems, finding the fun.
The Josh Smiths, I call them.
Yeah. Well, and again, this is just mainly looking at the guys who are off to bad starts. And so in the first category, I'm going to give you the five guys who haven't hit a shot yet. There are multiple guys who haven't hit shots, but these are the five with the most attempts. And we're all looking at the Jacques Vaughn record of missing your first 22 shots in a season.
Orlando Magic head coach Jacques Vaughn.
Yes. Brought to you by Crepe Suzette's.
Yes. So right now, and you guys can go ahead and tell me when we get them all out, who do we think has the best shot at hitting the magical 0 for 22. All right, we have current Laker, Xavier Henry, okay. Who's like, again, these aren't too out of control.
It's a front runner. He's really hot.
He's at 0-4.
And by hot, I mean cold. Okay.
But he's a big man.
Only 0-4. But he's more of a wing. You're right.
He shoots threes.
But Chuck, you're right. So the thing with this is one dunk ruins it all.
Yeah. He can dunk.
One
he
fast break, and he's fast, and he's like,
give us some more.
So next is Luke Babbitt, 0-4.
He's going to dunk. He's a white guy.
Then we have
garbage basket.
Andre Karolinko, AK-47, a surprising 0-for-5. Okay. So we can throw him out. He's
going to score.
All right, and then Ty, we have two guys at 0-6. Chase Budinger, 0-6.
Chase Budinger can jump out
then,
the gym.
And I'll let you know. I think it comes down between Luke Babbitt and this guy who happened to be teammates on the Pelicans.
Oh, is it Ryan Anderson?
No, it's Jimmer Fredette.
Jimmer,
who's 0-for-6.
Oh, that's possible. He doesn't shoot anything inside.
He doesn't shoot anything inside. And honestly, Luke Babbitt does not get inside. He does not jump real well.
You're right.
He's a. Morrison.
He's like a 6'10 outside shooter.
He's just a jump shooter who has a career. I looked it up, 37% shooter.
He's got bad hair too.
The only thing standing in the way of Luke Babbitt getting it, will he get 22
playing
attempts
time, correct,
on the
yes.
year?
Same with Jimmer.
Jimmer's been playing a lot.
They've been playing
really
Jimmer.
Really?
And that's why the Pelicans, despite Anthony Davis' breakout, are going to be terrible anyways.
Yeah, when Jimmer gets a lot of minutes.
Okay, so we think Jimmer has the best shot at the Jacques Vaughn 0-for-22. Now I'm going to go through the next. This is the Anthony Bennett Cold Start Award, who last year, you may remember, was one for his first 20 attempts.
Who strangely has a hot start this year.
He's doing fine. These are guys, I'm going to name guys, and oh, just a editor's note, I'm not mentioning any 76ers because they have multiple entrants and who, and I don't even care. And they're, and like at least one of them I'd never even heard of, even though I'd seen him play. But anyway.
Is it Brandon Davies?
It wasn't. Oh, Brandon Davies had 20 points yes, against the Magic, and the Sixers color commentator at this point said, did you ever think we'd see a day where Brandon Davies scored 20? Way to go, young fella. There's your Philadelphia 76ers. Okay.
Henry Sims with the double-double.
Okay, so these are guys who have hit shots.
Well, this hasn't, we don't have a cold start. We don't have a sponsor.
Oh.
How about Carnation Breakfast Shakes?
Carnation Breakfast Shakes, cold start.
That works.
Well, I just called them, so they already agreed to sponsor us.
Dude, just cut the check. That's all I ask.
Yeah, that's it. CTC.
I don't do this for fun.
I'm going to start at the bottom. We have Chris Douglas Roberts, CDR.
They don't play in my car.
One for 11. That's 9%.
Oh.
We have no one saw this coming, Thabo Sefolosha. One for nine. 11%.
Who does he even play for anymore?
The Hawks.
He's on the Hawks. Oh, you wouldn't know
that's
that.
Very Budenholzer.
You wouldn't know that because you live in Nashville and the Hawks are blacked out on League Pass and
every
on local television.
Time.
Well, you know, man, this is Braves country.
And then we have the person who I said could run a team in brief spurts, and Chuck made fun of me by saying I'm wrong. Ramon Sessions.
Yes.
pick and roll point guard.
He's a pick and roll point guard. I think he needs to be getting to the guy rolling because he's 2 for 17 at 11.8%. I combined two Grizzlies. Costa Kufos, John Luer are both shooting 12.5%. Costa 1 for 8, John Luer 2 for 16.
That's Big Ten basketball right there.
Danilo Gallinari 5 for 27.
Which is a prescient call from John H.H. Burr.
Hey, you know, when
I believe your comment was, I don't believe he's a thing.
he says he's not a thing?
Which I think is an amazing. All right, and so,
I'm not a rooster believer.
No.
Okay, so then, and then finally, this one is troubling, I think, for Pelicans fans. Eric Gordon is shooting 20% on the year, and he's playing 35 minutes a game.
Yeah.
So you throw in Eric Gordon, who's, I didn't say the stat, he's 7 for 34, 20%.
So he's chucking it.
You throw in Jimmer and Luke Babbitt.
Well, here's the plus side on Eric Gordon. If he can just get to the line, he shoots about 40% in college from the free throw line.
What do you mean?
He shoots, he's like a 40-50% free throw shooter.
But he's like a free throw shooter now.
What's that?
No, Eric Gordon.
Oh, Eric Gordon. I thought you were talking about Aaron Gordon.
You threw us off there. Sorry. No. Aaron Gordon from the Magic is
Eric
terrible.
Gordon is shooting that poorly?
Eric Gordon.
That's what he does.
Eric Gordon shoots. As I like to say, he's a great penetrator.
Penetration.
And he gets a lot of hands on balls.
Man, a
pretty
look,
good defender.
He should get the Mr. Freeze Award.
Yeah, good Lord.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, Eric Gordon, that's his thing. So it's that beautiful jump shot.
That's a bad contract, too.
That could, well, it's finally up, is
yeah,
it?
He's, I think, coming on it. But yeah, he's earning over almost $15 million this year.
It's amazing.
And he's doing,
don't forget that he was who they traded Chris Paul for.
Right, that was the centerpiece of the Chris Paul.
He was amazing that 1 year on the Clippers.
That's because he can shoot.
Just fantastic. But
yeah,
he
just forgot how he's got the shooting yips.
Maybe he's got the creaky knee.
It is
15 curse words.
It is sad because again, Anthony Davis is averaging, I don't know what the latest totals are, but you know, 25 and 12 and all these blocks,
yeah,
and he's getting steals, and then he's surrounded by all these guys who are not hitting
Tyreek
any shots,
Evans,
who are not helping him.
Yeah,
Tyreek Evans cannot shoot the best.
I mean, Tyreek Evans is the only guy who I think is doing a great job. He's actually distributing the ball.
Here's the other thing too. They traded Nerlens Noel for Jrue Holiday.
Yes, the Damaja.
Drew to Damaja. And you've got, imagine Davis. I mean, they brought in Asik to be that defensive guy that just rebounds and plays defense. Anthony Davis and Nerlens Noel in the same front court? That is 10 years of...
Those are my curse words.
Those are your curse words. I'm calling John out on curse words, and I'm calling myself out too. But you're talking about a dominant front court for a decade.
I agree.
That is to me one of the most, even worse. I mean, they don't get Anthony Davis if they don't trade Chris Paul. But
yep,
going back, that is a one of the worst trades I can imagine a team.
Well, because and it cost them their first round pick this year,
right?
Which could have been whatever they wanted. Like Alfred Payton was the guy who was selected with
Who Alfred Payton is another weird stat. First player in the history of the NBA. Well, not first player. One of the 10 players in the NBA to average 7 assists in his first 5 games in the NBA.
Oh,
so
I don't know.
That is a and that was something that we didn't think he would be able to do would be to dish the ball, and he's doing well.
That's the only thing I think he's capable of doing. I'm a little worried about
defense.
Him.
He's long. Yeah.
He gets some steals. So I like how he plays D. All right.
Right.
So now our next exciting, we think maybe a recurring segment is the is Chuck is going to give us his turkey bacon conspiracy of the week.
So here's the thing, right? Everybody's wondering about LeBron, and I hate to keep. Don't.
You made
me
curse
like
again.
I didn't do anything to you. Here's the thing about LeBron, right? Is so let's say the guy, he's playing bad because he can't take PEDs anymore.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So he was in Miami.
So that was 20 pounds of straight up juice.
Straight up horse testosterone. And he can't do it, right? So, like, Commissioner Silver comes in, like a white Lieutenant Daniels from The Wire, and decides to crack down on the drug game.
Yeah.
Right? And he says, no more PEDs. And he's like, all right, LeBron, you're on notice. I'm watching you.
Who's this LeBron character?
I'm sorry, Eggs Benedict.
Ah,
Eggs Benedict.
I was lost as well.
Eggs Benny.
Get it
as
straight,
I'll call
McNulty.
Him EBZ. Maybe I'll just call him EBZ. But so LeBron or Eggs Benedict, he moves from Miami. He pissed off the A-Rod Biogenesis people who are obviously Miami fans. And he can't get his Jaguar hormones anymore.
Yeah.
And he no longer can dominate in the fashion that he's accustomed to. And that's why it also gives you a little bit of insight of why he's kind of moody. You know, he seems to be pouty on the court now.
Sure. You think it's withdrawal?
Yeah, well, he's just sad.
The massive, I would say, wasn't there, but that would explain the weight loss.
He lost like about 20 pounds. Now, some
of
people,
muscle.
Of a lot of muscle. He looks svelte. He doesn't look like he even cares about banging down low. He doesn't want to be in the post. It doesn't seem, which doesn't really fit what's going on. You would think that would work in that offense.
Is this related? I thought I saw in the offseason that maybe he had hair. His hairline was growing back in.
Oh, that was the other reason, too.
But then it has since disappeared.
Right. He had all of a sudden had a hairline that went clear to his eyebrows. He lost a forehead. I think, and a whole entire forehead, and then all of a sudden it went away. Look, it's just fishy, and I think that's our conspiracy.
Well, let me
of the
get
week.
This straight. So instead of LeBron having a rough first 5 games, sorta, and adjusting to a new position at the 3, and perhaps losing weight to play the 3, so that Kevin Love, who is a 4, can play the 4, and Anderson Varejao can play the 5, instead of losing weight for those purposes. And to play his natural position when he was forced into the 4 as a Heat player. Instead of that, he just stopped taking roids.
That's correct.
And that is the conspiracy of the week.
Well, one final follow-up. I was wondering, do we think, was he taking his Jaguar hormones when he was in the Cavs the first time?
No, he was just young.
He was just young.
He was just
and
young.
So, and
yeah,
so
he had that natural
he comes to Florida.
That's why his hairline just took he gets
overload of testosterone.
Yeah, it just ran away from his face because he was juicing, dude.
So by extension, the Heat's paltry 2 championships, not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6. They shouldn't count then. Is that what you're saying, Chuck?
Well, if you haven't, if you weren't caught,
well,
then it doesn't matter.
Are we throwing out the first one because of all the erroneous refereeing?
What? Uh-huh. No, that the Bennett that, Salvatore
basically,
is a saint.
Basically, what we're saying is that the Heat have never won an NBA championship.
That's how I feel.
That's the real conspiracy.
Look at the rafters.
That's what I. All right, so that there you have it. That was Chuck's turkey bacon conspiracy of the week. Now, this is one of my favorite things. This is, we call it the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award. This is named in honor of Jerry Stackhouse for the most egregiously poor performance statistically box in a score. Game. Yeah, in a box score. And I'll tell you why.
I'm not telling Jerry Stackhouse about this.
Yeah, we're John and Chuck
I'm afraid
both
of Jerry
have
Stackhouse.
Reservations about...
This is like messing with Charles Oakley.
Well, first of all, I'll say why the award is named after him. If it isn't apparent...
It's apparent.
He had a lot of really bad box scores, and I'll throw in the only bet that I've ever made in my life that I welched on that I know of was maybe 10 years ago. My buddy was making fun of Jerry Stackhouse, my roommate Ben, and I was kind of like, man, he's pretty good. Like, he scores, like, he's a pretty good player. And Ben was like, yeah, he's not going to shoot 40% from the field this season. And I was like, that's crazy. Like, he absolutely is going to shoot 40% from the field. If he doesn't shoot 40% from the field, I will get a Jerry Stackhouse tattoo on my body.
Ben, are you out there?
And
Ben, are you listening?
And yeah, Jerry shot 39%. I think it's 02, 03.
30, Ben, reach out
39%.
To us. 39%. This is East Nashville. There are tattoo artists everywhere.
No, I still watch football with Ben every Sunday. So yeah, he's around. But so,
help us desecrate Keith's body.
Yeah, I didn't
the
do
temple.
It. And let it be known from 01 to about 08, Jerry flirted with 40%. It wasn't the only time he shot under 40%. Yeah.
Yeah, but he would also come off the bench and knock your face off of your skull. Mm. He's the most terrifying NBA player ever.
And he would also go to a strip club and take strippers by their ankle and swing them around.
This
things that happen.
Yeah. Things that Jerry Stackhouse did besides shoot 38%.
Also the deepest knee bend on that free throw.
Oh,
very good.
No
knee bend.
So deep.
That's
very
Dean
good.
Smith knee bend.
Oh, man. That's that Tar Heel
All right,
stuff.
So we're gonna decide. This is from the first week of NBA basketball.
I'm limiting you to three.
Okay, so here are your nominees. We have Josh Smith for the Pistons
the
against
winner.
The Knicks.
No contest.
You think he's... So here's my problem with... First of all, he went 2-for-17 from the field. However,
was this the game that led to Kenneth Faried calling him out, and then him calling out not only Kenneth Faried but all players with dreadlocks?
Chris Copeland?
No, it wasn't. This is Pistons versus Knicks.
Jordan Hill.
All right. So unfortunately, Josh Smith he filled the box sheet otherwise. He had two steals, three blocks, ten. My next nominee is going to be Kyrie Irving against Portland, 3-for-17, I think one assist, nine points.
Hurts to say, hurts to hear.
I'm gonna bonus nominee, the trifecta of Shabazz Napier, Mario Chalmers,
Norris Cole,
who went 5-for-21.
That's the winner.
And scored 15 points.
That's the winner. That is pathetic.
Hey, that's 15 points on the board.
Or...
And look, there's a lot of intangible play there.
A lot
guys.
Of intangible play. Or we have thrust into service Lance Thomas, you're not at Duke anymore, who went 1-for-10 for 2 points. And like, I feel sorry for him that he has to be on the court and shoot.
Yeah. I like that point guard trio.
So the point guard trio,
that is
I think it's
outstanding.
Pretty
good. Guys, we all have to agree on this. So you know I'm not going to vote that. So let's go on to the next one.
I think we have a 66.
I think
point
no, there isn't a no. There is 100% the triumvirate. We
I'm
need
not,
to agree on everything together. This is
I'm
what
not
we
letting
said.
That go. I'm not letting that go.
It's Kyrie Irving. There's no doubt it's Kyrie Irving.
Hey, he's going with the Cavs.
And that's not even the worst line of the night because LeBron was 4-for-12 on that, but he did have 7-for-7.
Four for 12
but
is nothing.
He had one free throw. When LeBron James shoots one free
Who
throw.
Who is this LeBron James?
When Eggs Benedict shoots one free throw, that's how you know he hasn't played. He likened this Cavs team to building a classic car.
He said, I cannot go back down this road.
He says that he has built classic cars, but he has no idea what a carburetor
he
looks like.
He has a
like.
Guy
listen, we're
who
gonna,
cuts his food
and then
up for
he
him.
Says, then he says, I had to send it back to the paint shop 100 times. Dude, you don't know what a car... What does an engine look like, LeBron? Let me tell you...
Please cut this steak for me, sir.
He's a mess, and I don't like Eggs Benedict.
I'm going to leave this to you, Keith. Your category. This is Keith's category.
I was trolling Chuck, throwing in the three heat
guards. That's all that was. I mean, but
V5 but getting a 5-for-21 from your point guards is pretty terrible. I'll give the initial one to Lance Thomas for doing nothing but shooting 1-for-10 from the field.
Dude.
Doing nothing
that's
else.
That's the worst ever. And look, that's a 21%.
It's Lance Thomas.
One for 10, 10%. Yeah, we don't expect much, but he can
that
be our
was,
first.
That was 3 point guards combining for nothing.
He can be our first winner of the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award.
All right, Lance Thomas it is. Pants Lance.
Thank God.
All right, so unfortunately, this next thing also might dwell on the Cavs, but we're going to introduce our, this is going to be a quiz segment, which
oh dear,
I invite you to play along at home, but mainly we're going to have Chuck and John play this week's game. We call it the Game of Scones. So this week,
heads will roll.
The name of the quiz this week is LeBron James or Tony Roten. Which of these players is pulling down 5.8 rebounds per game? John Burr.
Tony Roten.
Not too hard. That was LeBron James.
LeBron James.
Does Tony have 7?
Tony Roten is averaging 4.4 rebounds per game.
You I know Tony has 7 twice. So was...
here's
you know nothing, John Burr.
Who has the most blocks? Chuck.
This game sucks.
Not LeBron James.
Tony Roten has twice as many blocks as LeBron James this season.
He has leaping ability.
Yes.
Leaping ability.
Who averages more steals per game? That was very half-hearted.
How about Keith? How about you try this one since you know the answer?
Tony Roten. Tony Roten averaging 3.4 steals per game. LeBron averaging 2 steals per game.
And Tony Roten is doing some stealing, huh?
Can we do usage rate? Can
usage
real stats?
I didn't write down usage rate.
It's Tony Roten.
Yeah.
No way.
Tony Roten. I think
he's taking 80% of the Sixers shots.
Which player has more turnovers average per game?
Tony Roten is leading the entire league in turnovers.
Tony Roten is leading the league.
I think he's 27.
He's averaging 5.4 per game, but LeBron not too far back, 4.5.
That's what I'm saying. He had that eight turnover game against.
It's true. So to wrap up the Game of Scones, Tony Roten has a better PR than LeBron James.
Yeah, Eggs Benedict, you mean.
Yeah, that's your problem, not mine. Averaging more steals, more blocks, much better shooting percentage, 47% to 41%. A better three-point percentage for Tony Roten, 42 to 41. So there you have it.
Tony Roten is better than LeBron James. I think we've established
that. I think
that with this
is the important takeaway.
I think I give this one to Chuck. Chucklehead over here.
I needed this emotionally, so.
Right. The winner of this week's Game of Scones.
That was a gift.
Chuck, little finger, swollen finger,
swollen
actually.
Swollen finger. I have a hangnail.
Pussy finger.
I think it's infected.
Do you? What's the clue? Is it the, like, it's, I can see the veins of your fingers running up your arm?
The shiny red skin around the tip of my pinky finger.
That looks like.
No. Any podcast.
But if you edit this out, I'll kill you, Keith.
What's up next, Keith?
Are we doing our par fade away? Are we already there?
Par fade away? Are we at a par fade away?
This is how we say goodbye.
The par fade away
by McDonald's. McDonald's par fade away.
This is what we're looking forward to.
Mm.
It's like the dessert.
It's just like granola and yogurt and fruit together.
As soon as you insert granola into a parfait, it is no longer a parfait.
If three of us, okay, if we have to be the parfait, and there's granola.
It's granola on your yogurt.
Granola, fruit, and yogurt. If the three of us have to be the three parts of a parfait, who's the granola, who's the fruit, and who's the yogurt?
Keith is the only one who's even close to healthy, so he's the granola.
He's the granola.
My parents even thought I was gay, so I'll be the fruit.
Okay, I'll be the granola. I'll be the yogurt. I'm milky.
You're
white.
You're pasty. There's lumps in you.
Yeah, and people who are lactose intolerant really don't like me.
Fact.
So that works. That's it.
I'm living proof.
Okay, so our parfait away of the week.
Yeah. So what are you looking forward to in this upcoming NBA week?
Spurs Warriors.
That's probably the only game.
It's a good game.
We're not. Just talking about games, but I'm really excited about that game.
Yeah. No, it's, I think, a great game.
And if Boogie can continue this King's Assance.
Yeah.
Renaissance, man.
That's a good move. I like...
I'm taking this segment over.
Yeah, you should. I think there's no better game moving forward next week than Spurs Warriors.
Also look forward to the Cavs becoming a great team again.
It's true.
That should be fun for all of us, especially Chuck.
I look forward to watching. I don't know if you know this, but JaVale McGee's kind of back. He was flying all over the court. I mean, the Nuggets are struggling.
That means that the Nuggets gave up on that game.
But there was a thing where they were like, well, whoever's taking it right to the rim. So Shaw's put back in JaVale McGee to guard the rim. And I got excited, and he's been frisky.
Well, I'm glad Madonna's sex toy has finally turned to the strangest player in the NBA.
I love it. I love Brian Shaw. All right, so we're that'll be all for this week's episode. I think we're going to have an epilogue if you want to keep listening. Yes. Where John and I and perhaps Chuck talk about our Grizzlies.
I'm going to go smoke a cigarette.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. That's complete.
Will you get me a beer as well?
We'll talk even more in depth about the Grizzlies. But first of all, we are Fast Break Break, and that's on Twitter at Fast Break. All of us also have at Fast Break Break.
The Twitter account is
Fast Break Break.
At Fast Break Break. And remember, breakfast is the most important meal.
I've always said it's the most important thing.
Chuck, go get me a beer. We're going to talk about the Grizzlies now. Everyone else, turn off your recording devices.
All right, and we're now back with the Grizzlies epilogue.
Whoop that trick!
Yeah, since...
Whoop that trick!
Since John and I are hardcore Grizzlies fans...
Chuck, you're supposed to say get them.
We know.
Get them.
Yeah, thank you. We'll probably talk more about the Grizzlies every week, but we know maybe not everyone wants to hear it. So as a...
greatest beginning to a Grizzlies season ever!
Yeah, because you haven't won an opening game.
Yeah,
it's 13 years!
It's pretty funny when the Grizzlies are currently working on a 5-0 best start in franchise history, and the second best start in Memphis franchise history is 0-1.
That one was for Hubie, y'all.
So it's good.
Hubie
so,
not Brown.
So, John, what do you think is the best thing we have going, that the Grizzlies have going? I just bought this on him. Yeah.
The Shark, Gasol, is the new point center, the first point center since Wilt Chamberlain.
The fact that he's scoring, he's decided there's no reason to hesitate, and that everyone knows it. And I think the extra year with Jaeger,
yes.
The team... I mean, that first unit is just, they're moving great. They're moving the ball great. They're playing, you know, like it's really encouraging. Like last year, they would get off to slow starts a lot. And this year, they're getting off to fast starts. They're getting ahead. So then when the bench comes in and does horrible.
He has unleashed his ungodly spin move on every other white center.
It's so true, man. Gasol, when he keeps that dribble alive, doing that spin and then goes to the reverse.
It's one of the most unstoppable moves in the game.
It really is.
It's like right behind Dirk Nowitzki's like janky leg jumper.
It's yeah.
I mean, he scores on that spin or gets fouled on that spin almost every time.
It's really good.
As a non-Grizzlies fan.
Yes. As a future Grizzlies fan.
I don't understand how someone that big can move so fast. It's almost like a shark must keep swimming.
Or it dies.
You're really going to try to get that Mark the Shark to catch on.
It's like a shark's eyes, like a doll's eyes. Rolls back in his head. We delivered the bomb.
Another thing that I think I haven't heard talked about is, I think with the extra year of Dave Jaeger as the coach, he has the freedom to do his lineups with maybe he feels less pressure and he feels less a need to win. And though they are undefeated, I think one of the great things is you have a bench playing historically bad or being historically ineffective, yet he's playing them. He's still doing it. He's still putting out the all five. Even in their tight games, you're not seeing any of the Grizzlies starters getting 40 minutes. They're all playing like 35 minutes. He's very regimented. I think best case scenario, you would have a time where you would bring back in like a John Luehr in the second half, but so far it's been so bad that he can't.
I can't wait to see what happens with this team once Vinsanity takes hold. Once he starts playing well and is not dinged up.
He looks real dinged up, and he's been bad. I mean, he's had a couple of highlight plays, but like he doesn't seem like he knows when to shoot. He's been firing some crazy deep threes.
Ill fit so far, and that's what I almost wanted to put a segment within the segment called the Malo 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 Malo, because that's what Shark always says whenever he gets a bad call.
I get malo.
He turns to the ref and he goes Malo Malo Malo. He says it like 72 times. Great. It's one of the better lip reading segments you can have in the NBA.
Are you sure he's not saying Malo like he wants a marshmallow? like he wants. Like
that was the old Shark.
That was early Shark.
He looks very thin.
Yes,
he looks like
a lot of
he
it's
actually
haircut.
Can't.
A lot of it's marrying a supermodel.
He does look like
it's contract year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't say that. Why'd you say that?
Uh-oh.
Now you're bringing up I'm worried about.
No. He's
you made me curse on the epilogue.
He's going right to Cali.
No, it's the, you know what the scary part is? The Knicks. That could
be the thing he goes to.
No.
Marc Gasol will forever be a Grizz.
Mm.
There you go. Look at
Germantown.
He knows where the Mickey D's is at. He knows where that Beale Street's at. He knows where all that big theater. What's that thing?
Thing with the thing.
He goes to the High Tone.
The Orpheum?
Yeah, he goes to the Orpheum.
So I have a question. Yes. Bana Udry or Nick Calathes?
I miss Calathes every day. Not for the reason you think.
What's the reason?
I miss Calathes because I'm sad that his father, Costa Kufis, doesn't have a relationship with his son anymore.
Isn't a Costa Kufis what you use to wash yourself in a bath, like in the shower?
You put the body wash on the Kufis, right?
They're the greatest hairline twins of all.
Mm. They really are.
Beautiful hair.
It was like, what are those Russian dolls, babushka dolls?
Babushkas.
Where you open one, like
and
you, one open,
you
open the Costa
you
Kufis,
open the Kufis and you get a
and
Calathes.
There's a Calathes.
What country is Bana Udry from?
Greece. They're both Greek.
They're Greek.
No. Bana Udry is not. He's not
excuse
Greek.
Me. Calathes and Kofis are both Greek. I'm sorry. Yeah. Bana Udry, I believe, is from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
I don't even know.
I'm gonna go with.
We should Google that.
I'm South Italian.
I'm Googling it. My first thought was
he's
got to
be
Ukrainian, but I don't know.
It'd be weird if he was just from like
Slovenian. I should have known
Slovenian.
That. Slovenian.
Okay.
I wish that he was from Argentina, and then that LeBron called him the greatest European player, like he did Manu Ginobili.
Manu.
I think
he's European. Well, then all deference to LeBron. If you've been
he brought it back
to ex Benedict. If you've been Argentina, it's a lot like Europe.
Yeah.
There's hateful white people and a lot of
the architecture
hiding Nazis.
Some frescoes.
Yeah.
a few frescoes.
So which
even more frescoes.
What do you think? Which bench player do you think is going to get going first off any of them?
Mr.
Kufis.
I think Kufis too. It's weird. He's just not hitting his little turnaround shots.
He's looked out of sorts.
He's been out of sync.
But I've watched him. I watched him when he was with Denver. George Karl loved him. That guy understands basketball and spacing, and he's a smart player.
I agree.
It has just been very. Uncharacteristic play by Kufis thus far. And I also think Vince, once he gets it going, he'll be good too.
Well, you hope Vince gets it going. My I want to talk about a person I don't enjoy watching play basketball.
Tay-Tay?
No. I feel like I'm the last person on the Tay-Tay
hate wagon.
No. I enjoy Tayshaun Prince. I don't, through the whole offseason when they're like, who's going to be the backup wing? Like, is Quincy going to come in? And I'm
Coupon.
I was going to Coupon.
Coupon is the worst player on the Memphis Grizzlies.
I don't understand.
Best name.
Yeah.
It's a great, great nickname.
Great Twitter account.
I don't get the, a guy who, like, he's not very good at D, even though he's trying really hard.
He's an athlete who can shoot threes, and that's all he's got.
Right. And so he's shooting 25%. Like he had a good game last night and that's the air quotation mark good game where he doesn't hit, you know, he shoots a terrible percentage, but
he made two threes.
He made two threes. He got a stop, I think, in the New Orleans game where like he rushed out to close out on Tyreek, which spoiler, you shouldn't.
No, Tyreek can't shoot.
So then Tyreek made a move, got Coupon back on his heels, and then Tyreek ends up settling for a 17-footer, which is a very makeable shot, and he misses, and Coupon does a fist bump. And I was like, dude, like that guy just missed a shot.
That's like a cornerback in the NBA, in the NFL, like throwing his hands
touchdown.
It's like,
oh, we got a pass interference call.
That guy missed a shot. You did not make a stop. Like, I don't need my guys that hyped.
What makes a Grizz so lovable, and I was a Grizz fan before I moved to Tennessee.
Liar.
No, this is true. Is that they've had a great track record of having players with high basketball IQ.
It's true.
Once Rudy Gay was gone, it was really, really that way for a while. And Coupon is the one guy who really doesn't fit in. And also, I think Bana Udry is kind of stupid as well. But
I feel like that might be an unpopular view that I have. Is where, like, I think Bano's done great so far. He's done a good job of looking for a shot and scoring. But I think Calathes is a way better player.
I think Calathes was a better player.
Like,
he's a better fit for this team as well.
He's just one of the guys who's a good basketball player.
Yes.
He may be, I mean, it's hard to say a backup is underrated, but he may be one of the most underrated, I say, defensive players. Because you have a balding white backup point guard who people don't know is good at defense. And he's a good defender. Like,
I think he's still a minus defender, but he's better than Beno Udrih.
Well, that's not saying very much.
There's a garbage can in my house that's a better
defender. Beno's difficult to watch. But you know, it's okay to have a couple of poor defenders on the team so long as they have high basketball IQ like Nick Calathes had. When you combine being a poor defender with poor basketball IQ, that's truly a Molotov cocktail.
I think the one thing the Grizzlies have pulled off, which I don't know if it's sustainable, is even though the bench has been bad, and I consider most of those bench players to be negative defensive players.
Yes.
Even though they haven't
let the two good ones go.
They haven't scored, but somehow it's like the pickup game where no one can hit a shot or the game just devolves. So it feels like when they come in throwing their bricks, it's contagious, and the other team can't score that much either, so it's been manageable. I fear it falling apart quickly as they get blasted by 40 by somebody. But
your fingers are more on the pulse than mine. Why is James Johnson gone?
Ed Davis. No one ever. I mean, he clearly wasn't I mean, it's hard to watch. If you watch every Grizzlies game last year, he seemed to be a positive contributor. He seemed to be better than the guys in front of him. Right. And it still seemed like Jaeger always had hesitancy to play him. There was a story I heard on the radio show that was like, apparently when Tayshaun got hurt against the Nuggets last year near the end of the season, he was forced to put James Johnson in, and the crowd went nuts.
Instant offense, instant energy. He fits in great with Toronto.
Watching him
amazing
on the Raptors just makes you sad as a Grizzlies fan.
Dude, Raptors are probably my second favorite team in the league now. I know we're only five games in, but that team is a joy to watch.
That was my preseason pick of joy to watch.
And they are just, I want the Grizz to get there right now. The bench is not there.
No, it's current as a Grizzlies fan, it's currently violently uncomfortable watching
Malo.
Watching Ed Davis shoot 70% from the field.
Right.
I mean, again, he's 0-5. The Grizzlies are 5-0. And then watching James Johnson fit in great with those guys, get blocks, steals, assists. And you're just like, how has that guy not found a home as a backup on a good team? He's now. Like, why would the Grizzlies not want to give him the money and the time as opposed to...
So front office is a nightmare.
I don't know. No, they're not a nightmare because their track record's so good. You can't argue that.
I understand what Chuck's saying. It's very chaotic right now.
It seems chaotic. I do like that the owner has a commitment, like a lot of guys, you know, have stated that they want to win. But I like that apparently it seems to be paying off. They're paying more assistant coaches. Like, they want to have as many...
Para does freak me out, though.
Oh, yeah.
He freaks me out.
He seems he's like a socially awkward young 30-year-old, and it's kind of like,
but he's got like a personal trainer and thinks he can like beat Tony Allen in basketball. I mean, it's really kind of scary.
A weirdness. I like, so far his competitiveness has only helped the Grizzlies. So
I agree.
It's hard to judge.
And I was out on Jaeger, and I think it is working.
I think it's working great. Again, him balancing the minutes and seemingly have like a long view of the whole thing is good. So we might have a little more creative or a little more vibrant things to say once they actually lose a game.
Right.
But as of now,
it's coming soon. We've played jokes.
Perfect season.
Right.
It'll be sad if they if they lose to the Thunder on Friday.
Not happening.
But if they do beat them, I do like being potentially, I'm going to go and count these chickens before they're hatched, potentially 4.5 games up on the Thunder. That never happened last year.
No. We didn't even talk about on the podcast how the Thunder are effectively a D-League team.
We don't have to talk about the Thunder anymore.
Okay.
Ever again.
All right, so that wraps up the Grizzlies epilogue, unless anyone has the alarm buzzer?
In closing, I would like to end the Grizzlies epilogue always by thanking Jared Bayless for being traded for Courtney Lee.
It was a beautiful moment.
The greatest trade in Grizzlies history.
All right, you guys have a good week.
And remember, breakfast, most important.